At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
What Came Next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening. As part one of her story shares, Robin Lee is a court reporter, mother, survivor, and co-victim of murder from Southern California. Although Robin's career in the criminal justice system has given her a unique perspective, it was the loss of her beloved mother, Jerry Lynn Boswell, that truly opened her eyes to the realities of the criminal justice processes. Jerry Lynn's 2021 murder came after years of documented abuse at the hands of her son, Robin's brother. And after what felt like a never-ending battle to seek justice, Robin is left picking up the pieces of her origin family. The Broken Cycle Media team is incredibly grateful for Robin's friendship, honesty, openness, and willingness to share Jerry Lynn with our audience. This episode is dedicated in loving memory of Jerry Lynn Boswell.
I just know that he was really doing a lot of hardcore drugs leading up to the murder. And I think he was planning it. I knew in the back of my mind that something bad was going to happen, and it was going to happen soon. I think she had a feeling, and I think she wanted to leave. And I felt bad that I couldn't save her. The fact that she still protected him was hard for me to process. July 6th, that was the day. I hadn't talked to my mom in weeks. I would not have found out that my mom was murdered unless one of his friends that had been staying with my mom to quote unquote help her, he must have had some kind of soft moment and said, I think your mom passed. He texted me first and I called him back. I'm like, what are you saying? He said, your mom has passed away. And I just started rolling on the floor screaming. I knew he would kill her someday. I knew it. It woke up my daughter. She came in my room. I called the police and I asked, what's going on at 40895? They didn't say it was a homicide right off the bat. They thought she tripped and fell and hit her head on this table that was like 3/4 inch thick tempered glass. My mom weighed like 90 pounds. There's no way her head could have broken that glass. No way. That was Thursday night. Friday, I was making phone calls. The coroner told me, are you Stephanie? Which was my cousin's ex-wife. So when I realized that I wasn't named as next of kin, I needed to go down there and show my presence. I flew down Saturday. I went to the place and I had a police officer on standby. My brother-in-law went to the house with me because I was scared. You could see blood spatter all over the walls. I didn't even realize when I was walking around that I was walking where she laid. I didn't realize I was standing in her blood. And I took everything I could, every photo album, her teacups that were my grandma's. I went through her drawers in her bedroom, took every paper she had, because I knew my brother's wife and their cohorts were trashing the place looking for whatever they could find to have some kind of money. I found a laundry list of all the things that he had done to her over the course of 2014 to present. He choked her while she was in her own car because she didn't want him to take the car. So he put his hands on her throat, took her out of the car, and then ripped the keys out of her finger, broke her finger. So she ended up going to the doctor, and she told the doctor, my son did this. From what I understand, she told the doctor that if anything ever happens to me, it was my son. She also told her best friend that. And that to me was pretty poignant, that she had the courage to say something. She said in the list of things that he had been doing to her, she would say things like, I just want my debit card back. I want my car in case I want to go somewhere. She said, I guess love is just another four-letter word to you. And then she wrote, fuck, F-U-C-K, like he doesn't give a fuck about her. She said, I feel like I'm the one in jail. She wrote that, and I found it. I gave it to the detective. My brother called me, and he said, I cut my ankle bracelet off, and I'm running from probation. You need to help me. And he's like, what happened to mom? And I said, I don't know. They told me she tripped and fell. After I got the phone call and I came home, then the whole story started coming out via the investigation that he had gone out early in the morning and went to a hospital to try to break in. And there was a security guard that was there and they were having words. The security guard called the police, but he didn't want to press charges. The police showed up and it's 6 o'clock in the morning. It's early. And instead of taking him to jail for attempting to break into a hospital, they gave him a courtesy ride home. And that was the day he killed my mom. He never should have been out in the first place after trying to break into a hospital. Most likely he was going in there to try and retrieve drugs. I just don't understand the boldness. It's hard to understand anything in this situation, but just the fact that he was so desperate, he didn't care. They won't take me to jail. And they didn't. I don't know why he felt he was so above the law. The next time they interact with him, the police, he's at a drive-thru restaurant and he runs into the homeless gentleman who has a tent in the drive-thru area. And he starts talking to this guy and he says, I just won the lottery. If you need a place to stay, you can hang out up at my house. I never put that together until later. When he said, I won the lottery, he actually thought in his brain that he had won the lottery by killing my mom because she was getting a continuous income. He drew a map, gave it to the guy, gave him a debit card with the information on how to get money. The police showed up because somebody must have called, and my brother's on body cam just out of his mind. He has blood on his knuckles. The homeless guy went up to the house. First, he went to the bank and went to Walmart, because it was in walking distance, and he bought some groceries and stuff, and it was dark, there was no electricity, and he opened the door and he said it smelled funky. So he shut the door and he slept in the shed that they had outside by the garage. And then he went in the morning and he found my mom laying on the floor. He immediately ran back to Walmart, saw that there were police officers there. He said, I just went to this house. This guy said I could live there, and there's a dead lady in there. And they're like, oh, come on. And he's like, no, I'm not kidding. There is a dead lady in the house. They eventually went up there and checked it out. And there my mom was, because he told the story of my brother approaching him and it's on body cam. The police went up there and that's when they started the investigation.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
The first thing the detective asked me is like, do you think your brother did this? And I said, deep down in my heart, absolutely I do. They ended up picking him up somewhere in Murrieta. They took him to jail and they charged him with murder. And then he never got out of jail. He was in there for 1,222 days until his trial. They told me that my brother said that they got into a fight, he hurt her, and he left. He didn't call 911 or anything. He just left. Then the story changed that he hurt her and she was bleeding and he left. And then he said my mom was the devil and he was Jesus Christ and he had to kill her because she was out of her mind. It's so many different stories after they had done some more investigating. I finally found out that it was a beating to death with a lamp post and the end of a lamp. My mom had a lampshade on her face. And that to me is impossible to trip and fall and accidentally put a lampshade on your face. She was running for her life to get away. She ran into her bedroom and he cornered her. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds, and she's 5 foot, 490 pounds. And he just attacked her. It's completely unfathomable to know that she was running scared for her life, retreated to her safe place, and he still attacked her and killed her, and then acted like he did nothing. And then he staged the scene, made it look like there was a fight, that she was the aggressor. The curtain rods were pulled down. The window was punched out. He beat her to death, and then he left and tried to pin it on the poor homeless guy, who basically was a hero, in my opinion. I wish I could thank him for contacting the police, because otherwise she would have laid there probably for more days. I did go to the preliminary hearing, and I did see some pictures of my mom. I never saw him turn away, except for one time when they showed a picture of her ear, which was extremely swollen because he hit her 12 times in the back of the head, and he broke the bottom half of her skull through her jaw area. And he kicked her in the ribs and he punched her in the face. He would call me on the phone all the time. And I was told by detectives to take his phone calls from jail. And I did, just trying to see if he'd say something. No remorse, no tears, nothing. I just want money. Get me out of here. Don't start a probate. They were listening to all of his conversations. They were trying to get him for sure. They had no doubt in their minds what happened. It was just getting it to court and proving it. I know that they interviewed the homeless guy and he picked out my brother in the photo lineup. I was doing so much detective work myself that the detective said, remember, you're not the investigator here. I was sending so much information. They would call me, do you have any plans? Do you have any vacations planned? I said, no, my only plan is to go to trial. I just basically kept asking, why is this being prolonged? The preliminary hearing is done. He's been held to answer in Superior Court. Why are there so many continuances? Why am I getting a subpoena every other month? I wrote, please, no more continuances. I want justice for my mom. Justice for Jerry, please. I even had ribbons printed and I would wear them on my lapel. Justice for Jerry. Give her peace. Please give her family peace. Please do not forget about Jerry Lynn Boswell. April 9th, 1947 to July 6th, 2021. 2021 to 2024, so it was 3.5 years. And that's a long time to wait when you're a victim. The trial started, finally, in January of 2024. I was the first one to testify, and I talked about the closet incident and the broken finger. And the letter, somehow a judge ruled that it wasn't admissible in court. So I really didn't get to say a whole lot because there were a lot of objections while I was testifying. My brother just stared at me the whole time. And then I was in a hotel room from January 8th until February 9th. I did find out a lot of stuff. And even to this day, I will still ask my Richard. He's my bestest person that has supported me all this time. He started telling me stuff and I would ask because I'm a detail-oriented person and I want to know, so what did her pictures look like? At first, he wouldn't tell me. Then he would start telling me more. Like I would ask, why was there blood on the lampshade? Well, she was aspirating. So obviously her rib went into her lung. why did they take her brain out during the autopsy? So they could show the jury where the impact in her skull was, because part of her skull went into her brain. And then I'll let it go for a while, and then I'll ask more questions. Later, I found out that as a co-victim of murder, I was allowed to be in the courtroom. And after I found that out, I was really upset. In between there was a week where we didn't have any trial. That's when you and I first started talking. You DM'd me and was so supportive and inspirational.
Robin's path first crossed mine the month of her brother's murder trial. She and a friend had found season 7 of Something Was Wrong, listened, then reached out for emotional support during downtime amidst her brother's trial. My heart broke for Robin, but I was honored to be a resource for her. And just a week after we began our friendship, jury deliberation and her brother's murder trial began.
It took them 4 days to deliberate. They finally came out and said they had a hung jury. So the judge allowed supplemental closing arguments, which, as long as I've worked as a court reporter, I've never experienced supplemental closing arguments. They were just wanting to see if they could change that one person's mind. I was called, I came back, I listened to the supplemental closing argument, and then we went back to our hotel. I left thinking they were going to deliberate. I didn't even get a phone call from the victim advocate saying that they came back with a hung jury and everything was over. And I wasn't even in the courtroom to hear that. I was really pissed off about that. And then the subpoena started again after the hung jury. They were going to retry it. October 24th was the next trial date. Well, it was technically July, but then I got a subpoena for September, and then I got another subpoena for October. I'm flying down in October. I get a phone call in the airport saying they've come to a plea agreement. And I'm like, wait a second here. I'm on my way down here for the trial, and you're telling me there's a plea agreement now. The prosecutor told me that they were going to dismiss the elder abuse, and I was like, do you have to dismiss that? Well, it's part of the plea agreement. And they explained, if there was a hung jury again, they probably wouldn't retry it. I'm like, really? So he's just going to walk free after murdering my mom, after all the DNA evidence, the cinquantillion percent that it could be nobody else? That was the only DNA that was in there, was my mom's and my brother's. I believe probably his defense attorney said, you may not get so lucky this time, because it was only one holdout in the jury of the trial that started in January. So he took a plea agreement. And since I was already headed down there, I was present for the plea agreement. So I did get to hear the words guilty come out of his mouth, but no emotion, no remorse. And he pled guilty to second degree murder. And then sentencing came a month after that. I hadn't said my impact statement or anything. I didn't even write one. I just went off the cuff. I read my daughter's, and hers was outstanding. I also read stuff off of my cell phone that my aunt sent me that morning. The judge did ask me, can you tell me some good things about your mom? Because I've sat through this trial and I've seen the pictures, I've listened to testimony, and I would like to know some nice things about your mom. And it caught me off guard. I just thought of the things that stuck out in my mind. So I told him she lived a garden and she was a true Southern California girl. My brother pled guilty to second degree murder and got 15 years to life. He got one extra year, so technically he got 16 years, because he used a weapon that was a special enhancement with possibility of parole after 7 years, with credit for time served of 1,222 days. Of course, that's quite a long time, so that drops his parole time, which really upset me. I didn't hear about the parole in 7 years until I was in sentencing hearing. I wanted some peace for a little bit longer than that. I don't want to have to look at CDCR every other day. First time I looked at it, it was 2032. Then it went down to 2028. And that's when my heart sank. Finally, this past October, he was disinherited, which was very much a relief. But the whole thing takes so long that it gets so discouraging. I don't feel like 15 years is enough for your brother, for my brother, if we want to call them that, the killers. They just should be there for the rest of their life. And it makes me really sad to know, especially in the job capacity that I have, that I see other people get life with possibility of parole in 30 years. Just recently in October, I did a homicide trial. The defendant, he was found guilty by a jury of his peers, then sentenced to life in prison. And I was shocked at the comparison of a son beating their mother to death, trying to pin it on a homeless person, ran away from the law for years and years and years. The things that I hear and see in Montana, and then the way things are in other states, and especially California, in my opinion, it is horrible.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
I was in the trial. We were probably 3 weeks into it. There was a week in between where we didn't have any court. I was hanging out with my friend who is also a court reporter. We went to Palm Springs, and on the way back, we started listening to Something Went Wrong. And she had heard your story, and she's like, oh my gosh, you have to hear this. This is just like your story. It's crazy. And so we listened and we cried. We were crying like the whole way. She went home and she must have DM'd you. You reached out to me and we started talking, and you were like my inspiration. I was in a pretty dark place. And then we talked, and it's been that way ever since. The fact that you care so much about victims, I think we do get left behind, or we start turning invisible unless you keep going. And that's why I'm so grateful we connected. It was extremely important for me to be on Familicide and to share my mom's story and honor her. It felt really good to put it out there for other people to hear. I hope that something I said was helpful to somebody else that might be experiencing similar situations. And our moms were with us. You and I just knew it, that they were with us during that day of recording. And we were just sitting there talking. We were so involved with our conversation, but we were specifically talking about our moms. There was an earthquake while we were enthralled in conversation. We didn't even feel it, but Sam did feel the earthquake, and he asked us, and we were like, we didn't feel it. I came back out to where you were over the weekend, and we hung out. And then when we went to your friend's gathering that you were so kind to invite me to, I think you were introducing me, and we were talking about our commonalities and stuff in the kitchen. And the light started flickering right when we were talking about our moms. And we were both like, oh, that's so cool.
I appreciate how raw and open you've been. And I deeply appreciate your friendship. You've been such a powerhouse in all of this. And it's only been 5 years. That is amazing what you have cultivated in terms of seeking justice for her, and also in terms of sharing. What's really carried you through the hardest portions of your journey?
I would have to say that my mom has carried me through. My mom and my kids, Richard, you, just knowing that there's community out there, recognizing my feelings and recognizing that I have the power to make changes, and I have to keep going and follow through, because the justice system all across the country is more geared towards the defendant. I understand they're innocent until proven guilty, but I just don't think that sentencings are stiff enough for certain things. Something needs to change with that parole and probation system. And that's what carries me through, is that I would like to see a change. I don't know how to go about doing it, but once I can get to that point where I'm ready to do it, I don't think there would be anything that would stop me. Because there was no reason for my mom to be killed. There was no reason for my brother to be on the streets. He is not able to be rehabilitated, in my opinion. He's a danger to society. That's another thing I didn't know. Parole thing changed. I'm like, what do you mean 2028? He's only been in prison for 4 years. And they get points if they do good things that can help him get out earlier. I read some of the CDCR stuff that they can do. And I'm like, oh, great. So he's going to put on this fake narcissistic mask and do all these good things and get out. And that's petrifying for me. He is just such a manipulating con artist. And I'm sure the correctional officers get a lot of that and understand it. But at the same time, he could still pull the wool over somebody's eyes easily. He can still find a way to find me. And I don't ever want to see him again, ever. I still go to therapy. And I was talking about how I wake up as of late crying. I said, you know, I've had some bad mornings. And she's like, that's interesting because it's in the morning. So maybe you're still M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, morning. And I'm like, wow, that was kind of interesting thing to say. I never thought of it that way. Because I have good times and bad times, as everybody does that is in that revolving door of grief. Sometimes I'm angry, I'm sad, frustrated, but mostly I just want to feel peace and happy and joy. And I'm finding that again. It's just been a long journey. I will always miss my mom, always, forever and ever. I wake up every day thinking about my mom. One day I was like, oh, I need to call my mom. It's been 5 years and I thought I could still call my mom. Sometimes it's just not real. I miss her so much. He took every part of her. He took her away from me. And it's just so tragic and sad and unbelievable. So the healing process is still happening. But at the same time, I just want to be a voice for others and for my mom. My mom deserves justice. She has some justice, but I think there's more justice to be done in the name of our mothers for others, to make sure that other people are aware.
What words of advice or encouragement do you have for anybody who might be listening that potentially either has navigated similar events or just relates on an emotional level?
I believe one day at a time, staying informed, taking care of yourself, and finding people that can help you in any way, shape, or form, so that you have a safe place to talk about it, because it's okay to talk about it. If you have to have boundaries from other people to be safe with your heart, that's my biggest advice. And stay on top of those people that work in the justice system. Don't let any little small thing get by you, because it could be a game changer. Look things up, make sure. All the I's have been dotted, all the T's have been crossed on the part of the prosecution and everything so that nothing goes into the cracks.
Thank you so much for all of your time and energy. Now, always, thank you for your friendship and your love. I value your sisterhood in all of this deeply.
I love you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
She had no reason to feel ashamed or embarrassed. She was being horribly manipulated in every way that you can think of. She was still in love with him. So I think I pushed her to do something she probably wasn't ready to do. But I also don't know if she ever would have been ready to do it. I took her to the wrong police station, but they could see by the look on my face and then just the way she was looking that they needed to go ahead and take the report.
What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production, co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.